Welcome to Parenting Teens with Dr. Cam, a podcast about navigating adolescence without losing our minds. Each week, I guide you around the teenage landmines with practical tips, simple solutions, and words of encouragement. I'm your host, Dr. Cam. Let's get on with the show. To the horror of parents worldwide, human trafficking is a growing problem. According to the latest stats, 400,000 minors are trafficked annually. Those at most risk are adolescent girls, specifically ones who are craving attention or have low self-esteem. Today, we're going to talk about how to keep our daughters safe. I'm joined by Dr. John DeGarmo, the founder and director of the Foster Care Institute. As foster parents, he and his wife had had over 60 children come through their home. He is also an international consultant to schools, legal firms, and foster care agencies, and the author of several books, including The Little Book of Foster Care Wisdom. Dr. John has appeared in CNN, NBC, and Fox, and Good Morning America, where he received the Good Morning America Ultimate Hero Award. Dr. John is going to tell us parents what we need to know about human trafficking and keeping our kids safe. Welcome, Dr. John. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Absolutely. So let's start by sharing just a brief backstory. What inspired you to become a foster parent and start the Foster Care Institute?
Well, there were a couple things. Thanks for asking a couple things. The death of my first child from a condition called anencephaly or anencephaly is a condition where the brain or skull never truly forms. And my wife was in labor for 92 hours. Yes. So at that time, we were living in Australia where my wife is from. At that time, 28 years ago, I really turned my back on a lot of things, just filled with a lot of anger, a lot of guilt, a lot of grief, but wouldn't accept it. I was pushing it away because I felt men must be strong. Men don't cry.
Right. Very healthy.
Right. And years later, we moved back to the US, had three healthy children, and there were two incidences that really struck me. First of all, and I started dealing with my grief at that time. My three healthy children started accepting my grief and going through it. But I was teaching in a rural school system in middle Georgia, the high school level. And I noticed a lot of kids coming through my classroom who had issues of attendance, issues of behavior, and issues of academics. And I kept wondering what's going on in this small rural county. And then I met a lot of their birth parents and recognized, aha, it starts in the home. The second thing was at that same time, the nation's largest human trafficking was going on in this county, 20 minutes from my home.
Yeah.
It was led by Dr. Malachi York, not a doctor, but this is one of his aliases. And he had this compound where he had formed this cult called the Nuwabian Nation. Mm-hmm. And in this Nuwabian Nation, what he was doing was he was bringing over 1,000 children over the state borders specifically for child sex trafficking. Mm-hmm. So I had some of those kids in my classroom. In addition, I had those students who were really struggling at home. So I said to my wife, hey, you know, we lost our first child. How can we help other children? And that led to foster parent classes. And then that led to what I'm driven every day to do, just make children safer.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you for doing that. I mean, so many children out there. And I think it's astounding to us to even know this is going on. And I know we were just talking too, it's like going on in our backyards, you know, wherever we are. So tell us a little bit about what's going on. What is this?
Well, yeah, sure. You know, 5 million children experience domestic violence in their house every single year. That's before COVID. Those numbers went up during COVID. When we made the choice to close schools down in 2020 and sometimes in 2021 in some places, what we're doing is we're locking those kids in home with their abuser, with no mandated reporter whatsoever, no child welfare worker, no teacher to see the abuse going on. A lot of those kids ran away to the promise of something better, the allure of something better online, human trafficking. There are 450,000 kids in the foster care system in any given time. There are roughly 300,000 children in the United States for human trafficking. And globally, human trafficking is the number one business. It's overtaken drugs now, $150 billion industry every single year. I live south of Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia is one of the hubs in America of human trafficking, child sex trafficking, about $97 million just there. It happens in every single community, yet I call child sex trafficking America's ugly secret. It makes us feel so uncomfortable that we don't want to address it, that we shove it aside and we talk about other things going on. That's why I think this new movie out right now, Sound of Freedom, is so important, because it's shining the light on this horrific thing that's happening sometimes within a mile of where we live.
Yeah, I think I'm always amazed, because I talk about the area I live in as a fairly wealthy area, and yet I know it is a problem right here. And so when we talk about this, and I think sometimes we go, well, that's not going to impact us, right? That's not impacting me. But I think one of the things that we fear as parents is that, how do we know? Because these people are very good at luring kids and finding vulnerabilities in them, even when they are at home with parents, right? So what are some of the things that we want to, I guess, first, how do we protect our kids? How do we make sure that our kids aren't vulnerable to this?
Well, you mentioned that it happens in the homes, and you also mentioned that it happens to the, you know, you live in a rich community. Let's go back to Jeffrey Epstein's island. You know, that's where the rich were going. It wasn't the poor. Yeah. The richest of the rich were going to that island for one reason: sexual exploitation of our children. Yeah. And, you know, these are prominent legislators, prominent figures in Hollywood, prominent people in society. So it does happen in our homes as well, especially, let's go back to 2020, when we did lock our homes, the kids up in the homes, and they were going online to do schoolwork. Well, that wasn't happening. We know that wasn't happening. Pandemic learning loss. We know that, you know, there's a generation probably of children who are really going to have learning challenges. Many of these kids, especially those children who were experiencing abuse in their homes, they were going online looking for normalcy, looking for somebody to say, hey, I'll help you, I love you. Particularly the most vulnerable children, those children who are in the foster care system, they're going online looking for normalcy and for someone to say, I'll help you, I'll take care of you, I love you, I like you. Those kids run away. They run away to that predator who's been luring them in with false hopes, false promises of a better lifestyle. So yeah, it can happen in the home, but can also happen outside the home as well. You know, if you go online, you can see countless videos of people just snatching children out of parents' hands.
That is beyond terrifying.
Well, you know, human trafficking really is, it's growing right now at such an exorbitant number. The number of children that are being kidnapped and human trafficking right now, it is at its largest peak ever. Yet there are some who are going to deny that's happening, because again, it makes them feel uncomfortable.
And well, and listening to you, I mean, I have a teen daughter, and right now I want to just go lock her up in her room and not let her go out anywhere, because this is so scary, but we can't do that, right? We've got to let them live. So how do we make sure and just set them up to be safe? What do we do as parents?
Well, as parents, to begin with, it should be a part of our conversation. This is not something we should be afraid to talk about. Yeah. In fact, this is such an important thing. We must talk about it with our children on a consistent basis, not just once. Hey, be careful who you hang out with. You know, when you and I grew up, or at least when I grew up, there was a saying, don't get in the car with a stranger. Don't accept candy from a stranger. But those strangers for so many kids are online. Yeah. So, you know, in regard to online, it's so important that parents are vigilant with their child's online usage, on monitoring it, on supervising it. To begin with, we don't even begin to discuss the conversation of a child having one of these, a cell phone, until they're at least 14 years of age and in high school. No child needs to have a phone younger than that. In fact, for many kids, 13, 14 years of age is not ready for them either. You know, the frontal cortex is not developed fully until 25 years of age at the very least. So these kids can't make a rational decision. And if they are online, we as parents need to be making sure that we are supervising and monitoring who they're talking to, who's contacting them, what games are they playing? Because many times predators are going to those game sites, interacting with these young kids playing games, and again, forming relationships based on lies. You know, no child needs to have 1,000 friends online, because if you take 10% of those people as bad guys, that's a large number. In our house, my children can't have a friend on social media unless they actually know them in person, and so do I.
Yeah.
In addition, my wife is picking up our kids, our young kids' devices at night, and she's going to be scrolling through there to see who has contacted them or who they're contacting. Because if we don't do that, well, then we're putting our children at risk. Some might say we're invading our child's privacy, and I say that's rubbish. We're protecting our children.
Yeah.
Protecting our children, because there are people out there who want to reach out to our children.
I'm going to jump in and say how that's done is what makes that disrespecting their privacy versus helping them. Because I think as you're talking, a lot of the kids that are in safe homes with loving parents are still very disconnected from them and do not feel as though they belong, which I feel makes them vulnerable because they're looking outside for that assurance that they're not getting from their very parents. So I think one of the things I just really want to highlight is, yes, it's very important for us to be vigilant, but we need to do it beside them, not against them. We need to make sure, right? So it's almost, yeah. So it's like, it can't be a behind their back thing. It can't be a punishment type thing. It's got to be a, let's look at what's going on to make sure you're safe thing. And how do we do it that way? So I just want to really just kind of highlight that. It's very important how we do it.
And that goes back to what I said earlier, that having that conversation on a consistent basis, you know, talking to these children about in a age appropriate fashion that they understand. How I talk to my 10-year-old can be very, very different how I talk to my 17-year-old.
Yeah.
So having an age appropriate conversation at a very young age, you know, about the dangers out there and why we are doing this, why we are doing these things in order to keep these children safe. And I think the older the children get, if you have that conversation in the beginning, the older they get, these children, the teenagers recognize, you know what, mom and dad is just looking after my safety, because all I have to do is just go on social media and see the dangers that are happening. As I said earlier, mm-hmm. human trafficking is skyrocketing. And it's just now becoming part of our vocabulary, if you will, in society.
So what are the conversations we need to have with our kids? What do we need to say to them about what to look out for? Because I think one of the things that I see a lot is we parent from a place of fear. Understandably so. There's a lot of things to be afraid of, right? When we're trying to protect our kids and we don't have that ability all the time. So what do we do or what do we say to our kids to prep them or make them more aware?
Well, you know, you mentioned parenting out of fear. My wife and I made the very conscious decision in 2020 that we were not going to parent in fear. We were not going to give in to all those mandates that were thrust upon people because of the mental health issues for children. So 70% increase in teenage suicide attempts because of these children living in fear. So how you approach it is very, very important. You have to do it in a calm, rational, loving, compassionate, informative fashion. And that's just sitting aside, you know, sitting next to them and talking about these issues again in an age-appropriate fashion. For those teenagers, you know, you can look at videos, you can go watch the movie Sound of Freedom or other things to talk about those things as a family. But most likely the teenagers know what's going on. But going back to your question there, so what can the kids be looking out for? Well, to begin with, if somebody's reaching out to our children, asking them to send pictures of them, that's a big red flag right there. Right. Asking them to give personal information, what's your birthday, what's your phone number, what's your address? That should be a big red flag as well. So we as parents need to teach our children not to give personal information to people we don't know online. But you know, that's one of the dangers of social media is anybody can reach out to anybody at any given moment. I don't know how many times a day I get requests from people I don't know. And most of the time I'm just deleting it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're asking, and then sometimes they're asking me for personal information. And again, that's a red flag. So we have to have that conversation again at a very early age. Teach our kids, don't give those personal information out unless we discuss it with mom and dad or the parental figure in the home. Those are two of the biggest things that we need to teach our children out. Also, we need to teach our kids to look, be on the lookout for people who might be reaching out to them and asking to play online games. That's one area those online predators really are
Focused
upon. And again, that's one area our kids are at. you know, go back to 2020. Our kids were not doing schoolwork. They were online playing a lot of video games or immersed in social media. You know, we also need to limit our children's time on online technology and social media as well. It's very, sure, there's a lot of great benefits of it, but it's also can be tremendously damaging for mental health as well through social media. So we limit our time. Instead, go outside and play with our kids. Go outside, throw frisbee, go for a walk, go see a movie, cook together. And teaching cooking skills, all those kind of things, that helps build healthy esteem, trust, and attachment relationships with kids. So they're not going online looking for elsewhere.
Dr. John, I want to highlight something you said that kind of tied all that together. It's about relationship building with your kids. And so it's not a, I'm going to just shut your phone off and you can't do it. And then it's just, you feel like you figure out what to do instead. It's a, let's use that time to build a relationship. Because I think when we have a relationship with our child, that is, to me, that is the most protective factor that you can possibly have, because now they're not looking and seeking that elsewhere because they're getting it from you. They're getting approval. They're getting recognition. They're getting that sense of love from you. And so I think that's really, really important. And so when you were talking about doing it in a calm, rational way, that doesn't mean your teen is going to be calm and rational, right? Mm-hmm. Because especially when we're looking at their phones, a lot of them are very protective of their friends. So a lot of them get very upset with that because it's not that they're hiding something from us, but they feel the sense of like betrayal to their friends when they show parents stuff. So I think it's understanding that they are going to be upset and just uncomfortable with it. So we can't feed into that because then it creates a very negative secrecy, you know, kind of tension. Rather than a, we're doing this together to help you stay safe.
And that's why it's important to start building that relationship at birth. You know, spending time with your child, doing interactive things with them, having day-to-day conversations. You know, one of the things we do at our dinner table every single evening is we sit down as a family, no online devices, and we have this little box of cards where they're full of questions. And we just,
I love those. Out,
and we'll ask a question. We all go around, answer the question. They're not yes or no questions. They're designed to engage in conversation. And that's teaching our children not only relationship skills, but also conversational skills as well, which a lot of kids are missing. So when you build that foundation early on of relationship and trust, when you start having those more difficult conversations later on when a child's a teenager, it's going to be a little bit easier. But I do want to add this. Mm-hmm. Predators are out there, not just online as well. My wife and I, after we saw the film Sound of Freedom, we recalled a very similar incident that we had, because the film starts off where a child, actually two children, are taken to a modeling service by their father. And their father was said, you know, they told the father, no parents in here. You can come back at a certain time. My wife and I went to a modeling service with our children years and years and years ago. I don't even recall how long ago. It was a long time ago, though. And we were all dressed up, my wife and I and our kids. And within 10 minutes, they said, okay, we're going to take the kids back in the back room and start taking pictures. And my wife and I looked at each other and said, we've got to get out of here right now.
That's terrifying.
It was terrifying, you know, because if we were, well, we could have easily said, sure, we'll stay right here.
I know. And it's like right. So I want to ask you something too, and you may not have the answer to this, but I'm just so curious, like, what is happening to us that this is such a growing problem? I mean, we're talking about protecting our kids from this, but why the heck do we have to protect our kids from something like this? It's horrible.
My kids often ask me, and we come from a faith-based family. And my kids will often say to me, and I say to them as well, for our family, we really think it's an absence of God in a lot of people's lives. Breakdown of family values, breakdown of morals. People become so busy doing whatever, refusing to acknowledge what's going on. And again, I really believe that for a lot of them, it's an absence of God, because there's so many people out there who are just filled with so much evil, much evil to do such horrific, horrific crimes. You know, I've had kids placed in my own home as a foster parent who have been victims of human trafficking as well. And they weren't online. It was their parents selling their children drug money.
Yeah. There's a lot of broken people out there.
There are a lot of broken people out there, and I don't see it getting any better anytime soon.
Yeah, and I still feel that again, and I guess it's just because of my where I sit and what I see is I think so much of this comes from the relationships you have as a family, like you were saying, and the relationships you form with your children, because that's where we break is when we're young.
You know, I've been saying this for years. We're in a time of spiritual warfare, and our children are at the forefront of this war.
Yeah.
They really are. There's so much out there to distract children or to, well, let me rephrase it. There's so much out there to rob children of childhood innocence. You know, I've had so many children come to my home who have been victims of such horrific trauma, horrific abuse, and don't know how to smile, don't know how to laugh. Because they've been traumatized so much by those people who have sworn to love them the most. Those children are very susceptible to human trafficking because they're looking for one thing in their life that they never got, love. And that can happen in the richest of the rich homes as well because their parents simply are not focused on their child.
Yeah, 100%. And the fact is the people that are the abusers did not grow up with the phones. So, you know what I mean? It's like, so it's not that's causing it. That was broken beforehand. And I think that is something we need to look at is what was that was breaking it up.
Here's a disturbing fact. In 2020, under President Trump, and I'm not going into any political stuff here, I'm just giving you some facts here. In 2020, 32,000 children came over our border unaccompanied. Mm-hmm. Last year, 156,000 children came over here unaccompanied, which is five times as much. This year, we're looking at 280,000 children coming over here unaccompanied, which is an incredible number from 3 years ago. And those children really are coming over here from Central America, from Mexico, from Central America for one reason, and that is human trafficking. They're flooding into the United States. It's the largest place. You know, a lot of it happens in Africa and other countries, but they come here because this is where the people want there are people out there who want it.
Yeah. And I think the call to it is, you know, they're trying to find a better life. Their parents can't come. And so they're trying to figure out how do I find, so they're lured not by what's ultimately the case. They're lured by a promise of something better that they're trying to achieve. And then they get called into this. And I think
that does happen. And then there are also those predators who are bringing the children here without their parents. You know, they're telling their parents in Central America, hey, I'll take your child over for a better lifestyle. Yeah. And they're ending up in very quickly, very easily into human trafficking. As I said earlier, $150 billion global industry, which should wake us up.
Let's talk really quickly about grooming, because this is something that I think we want to keep an eye out for. Tell us a little bit about what that is and some of the signs that our kids may be susceptible to it or in the process of it, because I know this is a scary one too.
Right. It is, you know, it is forming that relationship with somebody that they don't know and grooming them for something later on. And it happens a lot of times online, social media, our phones, our technology. It also happens like predators in person developing relationships with these children. I think back to one of the kids that was in our house, and her uncle, step uncle, if you will, had been grooming her for a long time to in a form of relationship to build trust with this young girl. And the girl that eventually ran away with her uncle became a victim of human trafficking as well. That's why parents have got to be so very, very, very vigilant. Who is contacting my child? Who is my child communicating with? Who is trying to groom my child without my knowledge? That's why it's so important that we build that foundation of trust and relationship early on so our children don't fall victims or don't want to go off with that person who's trying to groom them.
Yeah, I think it comes back to that over and over again is the key. And it's still not guaranteed, but it is one of the most important things we need to do. I want to ask too, how do, even if we've got kids and we're doing what we can to protect them, but what else can we do to stop this or protect just kids in general? Because this is not okay. Just not okay.
We've got to do something that for many people makes them feel uncomfortable. We've got to talk about this.
Yeah.
We have to talk about this. People don't want, if someone said to me the other day, I don't think I can sit through 2 hours of the movie Sound of Freedom. It's going to make me feel uncomfortable. And I said, that's interesting. I said, that's interesting. The child who is being raped 10 to 12 times a day, 7 days a week from age 5 to 10, doesn't have that luxury So we have to have that discussion, because I've been saying for years, awareness equals advocacy. When we become aware of what's really happening in our communities and sometimes our own neighborhoods and maybe within our own families, then we can become advocates for these children. We have to stand up and talk about this to fight for these children, because if not me, if not you, then who is going to stand up and say, enough is enough, it ends here?
Yeah. So if somebody's listening right now and says, I need to do something right this second, what is the first step they can do to advocate?
Knowledge. Immerse yourself in knowledge about what this really looks like. I've got a number of articles about it. I've written about it in several books. I've got webinars about it. But, you know, go online and do your research about what it looks like. And then I actually have an article, 5 ways to stop human trafficking. So, you know, find ways that you can stop in your community. Find ways that you can be a fighter for these children in your community. And I really think it begins with having discussions with other people about it. Yeah. You know, I often give these statistics to people and they often say, I had no idea.
I know.
Well, you didn't have an idea because for many times you didn't want to know.
Yeah. It's happening right there under our noses and we're not seeing it because we're not aware of it.
Right. We'll talk about anything else. Again, number one global business, but we're not talking about these things.
Yeah. It's a lot of things we got to fix. That is a big one. Dr. John, how do people find you?
Oh, thanks for asking. Social media, Dr. John DeGarmo, foster care expert. You can look me online on my website, The Foster Care Institute, or drjohndegarmofostercare.com. And there's a lot of things. It's not necessarily foster care. Anybody who is a parent or has a or has children in their lives. There's many, many resources and support services on that website. And you can also contact me via email as well.
Yeah. And I'll put that information all in the show notes and grab that article that you just said of the 5 ways that we can advocate to make sure people can find that easily.
Thank you so
and
much.
And I know you have a TED Talk as well.
Yes. That was very enjoyable. It was designed to bring awareness to some of these issues.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you again for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity. And thank you for caring for children in crisis.
Oh my gosh. And thank you, parents, for taking time out of your busy day to spend with us. I really appreciate you too. If you want more information on how to best support your teens, check out my 10 top tips for raising teens at askdrcam.com/parentingtips. Until next time, stay curious. Remember, there's always more to the story than what you see. And that's a wrap. Thanks for joining me today on Parenting Teens with Dr. Cam. Make sure to visit my website, www.askdrcam.com, where you can subscribe to the show in iTunes, Stitcher, or via RSS, so you'll never miss a show again. While you're at it, if you found value in this episode, I'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, and hey, why not share it with a friend too? Be sure to tune in to my next episode. And remember, parenting teens may not be easy, but with my help, it can be a whole lot easier than this.